Well, we're spending 5 weeks looking at how to hear from God. And the reason we're doing that, there we are, he's having a think, isn't he? The reason is that at the end of last year, I asked what teaching would you like to help us live out our Christian lives day to day. And this was one of the things I was asked to teach about. And I remember as a young Christian, guidance was a really key thing for me. How do you hear from God? I sweated over guidance. How did I hear from God? How can I be sure it's God speaking? How do you test it? And, hearing from God is not difficult. It's just not difficult. Hearing from God is every Christian's birthright, but it does take a bit of thought and care and application and focus. And a couple of weeks ago, Ted told us how God wants to speak to us, how God is a communicating God. And we're designed to hear his voice. We're actually, he manufactured us that way so we could interact with him, we can hear from him. And do you remember the story that Ted alluded to of Martha and Mary and how Martha was rushing around and doing loads of stuff, and I kind of empathized with that. And it was Mary who sat at Jesus' feet, and Jesus said Mary chose the better part to sit and listen to Jesus. There is a time for action, but there's a time usually beforehand for listening. And Ted explained that God's very words are like food to us. If we don't listen to Jesus and we don't receive from him, we're going to starve spiritually. But how can we hear? Well, I thought we would start in the Old Testament, a very famous passage. I'm going to read it to you. Here we are, Jeremiah 31. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So there is the Lord speaking through Jeremiah, and he says there's going to come a time when there's a total transformation in the people of God. And instead of having to look at the written law, and if you know Jewish people, they look at the written law laboriously and they try and obey it laboriously. Instead, God says through Jeremiah, his people will know God's will for them innately. It's almost like God is right inside each one of us. And actually, that's true. Because what happened in the Old Testament was the Holy Spirit only came on a few special people, kings and prophets and so on, teachers, judges and so on. But under the New Covenant, as Ted shared a couple of weeks ago, under the New Covenant, every Christian has access to God. In the Old Covenant, before Jesus came, the only time that you could get access to God was to go into the Holy of Holies, and only the priest could do that. Under the New Covenant, we're all priests. We're all priests. Every Christian here is a priest. Although I'm ordained in the Church of England, I'm not a priest in any different way to all of you. I'm an elder, I'm presbyteros, but I'm not a priest in any different way to you. We're all priests, which is great, because that means we all have access to the Father. So, we have a Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is right inside each one of us. Now, how do we know that? Well, do you remember Jesus in John chapter 3? He talks about how we must be born again of the Holy Spirit. But, even clearer maybe, is if we look in Paul. And Paul in Romans 8, he says this. This is what happens. He says, look, those who live according to the flesh, of the human nature, have their mind set on what the human nature desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Okay, and then let's go down a little bit. If anyone doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to him. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. He says, going further up the page, the Spirit of God lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. If you are a Christian, you've gone through this rebirth process whereby the Holy Spirit comes and meets with us and turns us from unregenerate, from people who are not walking with God to people who are walking with God. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside us. And if we've got the Holy Spirit inside us, the Holy Spirit of God inside us, it should be possible to hear his voice. We should expect to hear his voice. That's an expectation. the way that Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit all the time is he talks about the Holy Spirit in speaking terms, as though he talks. Okay, he uses words. He communicates. Should we try a bit of Greek? Up for a bit of Greek, are we? See if we can make this work. Whoops. There we are. Now, Rona's not allowed to touch. I know Rona knows what that says. Anybody else like to say what that word is?
Parakletos.
There we are. Parakletos. And parakletos is the word that Jesus uses for the Holy Spirit, and it means advocate or counselor. With counselor, I don't mean somebody who comes alongside and discusses your problems. It means counselor in the American sense of lawyer, who puts your case for you, who comes along, supports you. Okay, so when I was a lawyer acting in court, I had a client there who had done shoplifting or theft or nicked a car or something, and I would stand up in court and I would put their case for them, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He can't do that, and he communicates and speaks. When I was a lawyer, my client would expect me to communicate with him, and that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. So, how does the Holy Spirit help us? What does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, he says he will teach us all things. He will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit teaches us about who God is. Secondly, he says he'll remind us, this is from John 14, he will remind us of everything that Jesus said to us. So the Holy Spirit, again, has to speak. Can you see he has to communicate? Okay, we heard David read to us, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment, not just by sort of vague feelings of guilt. It's conviction. The Holy Spirit communicates and speaks into our lives and will guide us in all the truth. You remember what Jesus said? He will guide us in all the truth. He'll tell us what's going to happen, what's to come. He'll bring glory to Jesus, and he'll take information from Jesus and let it be known to the believers. All those things require that the Holy Spirit speak to us, and it requires that we hear from him. So here we are. We've been created by God to hear from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been placed right inside us. So what's the problem? Why do we find it so difficult? You might expect that everybody would think that it's easy to hear from God, and that's a natural expectation. A lot of people don't, you know. I've only ever had lunch with an archdeacon once. And this was about 30 years ago. I was a young Christian, and I was training as a lawyer in the city of London, and it was a church that I used to go into with a friend of mine at lunchtime. We used to go and pray, a Christian friend of mine, in the office. And right next to this church was an archdeacon's house. The Archdeacon of Hackney lived there. Important man, obviously. And one day he came and he met us, and he said, would you like to come to lunch? And I said, oh, that would be lovely, thank you. So he said, we only have a very simple lunch. So I said, that's great, no problem. So I was expecting, you know, a couple of cheese sandwiches. And we turn up, and there's this massive lunch, you see. So, and then he said, the two things I remember, okay, this is the first thing I remember about this, was the wine, okay. He said, would you like some wine? This is for this simple lunch. I said, that's very nice, thank you. So he poured out this bottle of wine, and I knocked it back, as you do. And afterwards, my friend said, did you notice the wine? I said, yeah. He said, it was bottled in 1936. So, but apart from that, we then started talking about how God communicates. And the classic remark I remember, dear old Archdeacon George said to me, he said, are you suggesting that you have a hotline to God? And I said, well, yes. Isn't that what the Bible says? Because it does. And he was completely mystified. And actually, I was speaking to somebody else a little while ago about this. And the kind of assumption was that it was kind of a bit presumptuous, a bit wrong-headed to think that God actually speaks to us. And this person could speak to one or two occasions in their life. They felt God had spoken to them really, really clearly. But on the whole, it's a question of kind of, you know, you read the Bible, you use your intelligence, a bit of sanctified common sense, and we kind of stumble through life, and hopefully God kind of sorts it out. Now, there's nothing wrong with a bit of sanctified common sense, but if you read the Bible, the expectation is that we hear from God, that he communicates to us on a daily, weekly basis, an ongoing basis. That is the expectation. It's not presumptuous or arrogant. Jesus talks about that. My sheep hear my voice. So what's the problem? It's all a question, you see, of tuning in to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us, but sometimes our lives are so full of white noise that we drown out what God is saying to us. So, here we are. an 8-point plan to hear us tune in to the Holy Spirit. There we go. Number one, ask. Ask. We need to ask God to speak to us. Do you remember in the Old Testament, there was Samuel, little boy, probably about as old as that little boy. And he was in the tabernacle, he was at Shiloh with Eli, the old high priest Eli. And God started to speak to him. And here we are. Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant's listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And some people say, God never speaks to me. And my reply to that is, have you asked him? Have you asked him? Have you asked him? James says, you don't have because you don't ask. So ask God to speak. Second, confess. Confess. We need to deal with sin in our lives. You know, we find it very hard to hear from God if we're walking around with a burden of sin, unconfessed, unforgiven sin. It's really hard to hear from God, except God saying, you need to confess that. That's it. Anything else, it's really hard to hear from God. Here we go. Psalm 24. We know these verses very well. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who doesn't trust in an idol or swear by a false god. We can't tune into the Holy Spirit with sin in our lives. And if I've got wrong attitudes or I've done wrong stuff, this blunts my ability to hear from God. What does James say again? Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. That's great. And then what does he say? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You start drawing near to God, and God starts drawing near to us, and then you really know there's sin in your life. I do. I do. If I've got something on my conscience, I need to sort it. Drawing near to God is what really makes me get things sorted out. Okay. Third, solitude. Solitude. Jesus really knew a thing about listening, a thing or two about listening to his Father. He really knew how to do it. What did he do? Every day he got up really early and he went away to a solitary place. And actually he tells us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, it's not only because praying is not meant to be something which is a show, which we do in front of other people. It's actually much easier to hear from God when we're on our own without distraction. See, it's not that God can't speak to somebody in the busy street, or a prayer meeting with lots of other people, or a sermon or a worship service, but actually to really hear from God, it's easier when there aren't lots of distractions. Now, I'm a very kind of relational person. I like loads of people around me all the time, and I like some noise, and you know. But actually, when I'm seeking God, I have to force myself to go somewhere quiet. Okay, and it's a bit of a sacrifice for me, actually. I have to make a bit of an effort, but let's make the effort, because God really wants to speak. So if you really want to do business in hearing from God, get on your own with him. Fourth, stillness. Stillness. Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. When Samuel wanted to hear from God, what did he do? He went and lay down. He was still. And Jesus went off alone to be still with his Father. Now, you know, this is torture for me. I just can't stand still for more than 5 minutes. I have to force myself. Actually, what we've got in there, there's a little kind of prayer stool thing. I don't know if you notice, it's like a little wooden thing. And I quite often use that. And the reason why it's good for me is because I kneel down and sit on it, and it's very useful. It makes me stay still, okay? Now, usually, for those of you who pray with me in prayer meetings, I'm always getting up and walking around. But actually, I've got ants in my pants, but actually, sitting still is a really good thing to do. If you want to hear from God, sitting still is a good thing to do. You know, and our lives are so full of distraction. TV and radio and personal stereos and iPods and iPads and all this kind of stuff, you know, personal music. Hearing from God with all this stuff going on is really difficult. Still, quiet, distraction-free. Next, meditate. I'm not talking about sitting in the lotus position and saying om. I'm talking about meditating on the Word of God, on the Bible. Here we are, Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Okay. If we want to prosper, if we want to be fruitful Christians, we need to meditate on God's word. We don't only have the law, which is the first five books of the Bible. We've got the whole Bible, all 66 books of it. Okay, so let's get meditating on the word of God. Now, I'm a great believer in reading large chunks of the Bible. I think it's a really good thing to do, two or three chapters a day, great thing to do. But where God really speaks to me is when I sit down and chew over single verses or short passages. That's really good to do too. It's a really good discipline to do. So we've got the whole Bible, let's get meditating on it. When we get God's word into our brains, into our spirits, into our lives, then the Lord will speak to us through that too. He really speaks to us through the Bible. Receive. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. Now, I know it's a bit scary, a bit charismatic, okay, kind of thing Andrew Cook's always talking about. Actually, if you don't ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life powerfully, actually he won't come. He's not going to bust in. He really isn't. We all have, if you know the Lord Jesus, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. But the Bible is crystal clear that we can know the filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. What does Paul say? Be filled with the Spirit. If you look at the original Greek word there, it means be continuously filled, present continuous. So what we need to do is day by day by day by day, ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and empower us. And when the Holy Spirit does that, he will speak to us. He will speak to us. Every day, get up. You know, when you get up, ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you there and then. I learned a trick from Bill Hybels from Willow Creek. And what he does is, every day, when he gets up, the first thing he does, the first part of his body to touch the ground are his knees. And he kneels down and he asks God to touch him and fill him and empower him and use him that day. And I've kind of taken to doing that. Getting up in the morning and just kind of lowering myself down onto my knees next to my bed, which is a great thing to do. And ask the Holy Spirit to come in power in your life. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He really will. It's not rocket science. It's not tricky or difficult. It will happen. I'm doing this now. Listen. Let the Holy Spirit say what he wants to say in your life and do what he wants to do. And you know, it might be quite random, actually. It might be quite surprising. This is what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, you can't tell where it comes from, where it's going. So it's with everyone born of the Spirit. We need to let the Holy Spirit speak in his own way and in his own words. We'll be talking about that in a bit more detail in a few weeks' time when we look at prophecy in the New Testament. But let him speak, and he really will speak. He's committed to speaking to you. He's committed to speaking to you. And finally, expect God to speak. But we need to get our expectations right. I wonder what you're expecting God speaking to you to sound like. Now, of course, from time to time, God really has to shout, like Paul on the road to Damascus. There was a man on the way to Damascus about to persecute Christians, and clearly Jesus had, I think, been trying to get his attention for some time, and it had not been working. And in the end, he had to throw him off his horse, blind him, and have him taken to Damascus in a state of desperation. And that was necessary because Paul was not listening. But actually, just because God doesn't throw you from a horse on the road to Wareham or something, you know. It doesn't mean to say you haven't heard from God. God doesn't have to speak in spectacular ways, okay? You don't have to see letters of gold written across the fridge. You just, that is not the normal way in which God speaks. Normally the way the Holy Spirit speaks to us is, well, what happened to Elijah? wasn't in the fire, wasn't in the earthquake, wasn't in the wind. It was the still, small voice. Really, we need to get good at listening to the still, small voice. I often count, it's a bit like a butterfly fluttering past, or breath on the wind, just a little. Just like the wind goes past. And that's normally what it's like. And what you need to do, when I was, when my daughter, well, she still does this occasionally, it's real sweet. I used to blow her a kiss. And she used to grab it and put it in her pocket. And I remember when she got married, and she was going off on her honeymoon, and I blew her a kiss, and she grabbed it and put it in her pocket. It's lovely. Isn't that nice? But that's what you need to do. When God speaks to you, just don't think, oh, you know, what was that? Just grab it, put it in your pocket, you know? Just fix on it. Say, hang on, God said something to me there. Now, what was that? Okay, I think he said that. Is that right? Does that make sense? I think it does make sense. Yeah, so what am I going to do about it? Don't say, oh, no, sorry, I haven't been thrown from a horse, or there aren't letters, you know, it doesn't say letters, you know, or like the writing on the wall in, you know, at Belshazzar's feast. Usually God doesn't speak like that. He speaks in still, small voices. What we need to do is tune into him and get good at listening to the still, small voice, not complaining to him that he's not shouting louder. He only shouts loud to people who won't hear the still, small voice, okay? So we're designed to hear still, small voices. But all of us here who know and love the Lord Jesus are designed to receive from God. We really are. It's not for special heroes of the faith. It's not for vicars or missionaries or prophets, people who write the Bible. It's for every Christian. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit living within us. Every Christian has the spiritual equipment to listen in. All you need to do is tune it in. Ask, confess, get alone, be still, meditate on the Word of God, receive from the Holy Spirit, listen, and expect Him to speak. It's really easy, isn't it? It's not difficult, that. None of those. We can do all of those things, can't we? So what we're going to do, we're going to have a go now, all right? Let's have a go now. Let's invite God to speak. And you don't need to share what God says. I think it would be good for God to speak to us as individuals, just for us, okay? Just for us. And when you feel something comes to you, don't write it off. Don't say, oh, no, it's just my imagination. Let's just trust God to be God for a minute, shall we? Trust God to be God. So let's be quiet. Be good to shut our eyes. Okay, we're not exactly in solitude here, are we? But we are still. We've confessed our sins. We're asking Him to speak. We've looked at the Word of God. Right, let's receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray now that you fill every single person in this church now. Please fill every person now with your power and your presence. Come, Holy Spirit.